This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. At age 9, Javier Zamora left his grandparents' home in El Salvador and made the treacherous journey across the U.S.-Mexico border by himself. He was looking to reunite with his parents. When he was little, they left El Salvador, fleeing the civil war that resulted in the deaths of 75,000 Salvadorans. It was a war that the U.S. was involved in. They helped arm and fund the right-wing military. After multiple attempts, Zamora successfully crossed the border. Now he's an accomplished poet and a Wallace Stegner Fellow at Stanford University. His latest collection is called Unaccompanied, and it chronicles his memories of El Salvador, his journey through the Sonoran Desert, and the difficulty of settling in a new land.
To President-elect. There's no fence. There's a tunnel. There's a hole in the wall. Yes. You think right now no one's running? Then who is it that sweats and shits their shit there for the cactus? We craved water. Our piss turned the brightest yellow. I am not the only 9-year-old who has slipped my backpack under the rancher's fences. I'm still in that van that picked us up from Devil's Highway. The white van honked 3 times, honks heard by German shepherds, helicopters, Migra trucks. I don't know where the drybacks are who ran with dogs chasing after them. Correction, I do know. At night, they return to say, sobreviviste, bicho. Sobreviviste, carnal. Yes, we overlived. My name is Javier Zamora. I was born in El Salvador, and I immigrated here when I was 9. My dad must have been 18 in 1990 when I was born, and at the same time, he was part of a co-op in my town that was predominantly run by the right-wing government. There was a lot of soldiers there. And so he got into debt, some trouble, some political trouble, so he was afraid. So then he came to the United States. And my mom, because we were still, even though my dad was sending money, she couldn't find a job as a woman at that time, post-war. I waited for them to gather enough money for them to send for me. And then eventually, 5 years after, they had enough money. And then I made my trip up here, which was supposed to take 2 weeks with the person that they paid. But then that person left me and a group of 6 others from El Salvador in Mexico. And then we had to figure our way up through Mexico to through the Sonoran Desert and eventually to the United States. It took me 3 tries to cross the Sonoran Desert. And that part of the journey took around 2 weeks. Those are the hardest poems to write, and it took me a long time to edit because of the trauma. That's perhaps the most traumatic experience of my life, being so close to death and being rounded up like cattle almost by immigration officers and being in jail, being a kid, immigrating. When I did as a 9-year-old, I could still see the beauty in the nature around me because I wasn't so aware of the dangers. You know, there was a gang member who helped me come to this country, and I wouldn't be here without him. This young man, he was 18 when I was 9. He loved me. You know, he fed me. He provided shelter. He talked to me. He was like an older brother, and I wouldn't be here, you know, without him. I still don't know his real name. I only knew him as Chino. Second attempt crossing for Chino. In the middle of that desert that didn't look like sand and sand only. In the middle of those acacias, whiptails, and coyotes, someone yelled, La Migra, and everyone ran. In that dried creek where 40 of us slept, we turned to each other, and you flew from my side in the dirt. black-throated sparrows and dawn hitting the tops of mezquites. Against the herd of legs, you sprinted back toward me. I jumped on your shoulders, and we ran from the white trucks, then their guns. I said, "Freeze, Chino. Para, por favor." So I wouldn't touch their legs that kicked you. You pushed me under your chest, and I've never thanked you. Beautiful Chino, the only name I know to call you by. Farewell, your tattooed chest, the M, the S, the 13. Farewell, the phone number you gave me when you went east to Virginia and I went west to San Francisco. You called twice a month. Then your cousin said the gang you ran from in San Salvador found you in Alexandria. Farewell, your brown arms that shielded me then, that shield me now from La Migra. I think what's missing in the media and the way journalism covers the immigration, especially immigration from El Salvador, I think it's the humanity of individuals like gang members. You're either a complete criminal or you're a straight A student. And most of us are in the middle. You may think that I am a good immigrant, that this is what could happen when the quote unquote American dream is satisfied. I don't feel like I'm in no f-ing dream. And it was important for me to include poems where I say that I'm literally f-ed up, where I'm drinking, where there's a lot of despair. Because I think those are the realities that even dreamers, quote unquote, and good valedictorian people, like immigrants who want green cards, go through. People don't realize in this country, and even in El Salvador, we fail to call what's happening in my country a war, when statistically there are more people dying now in peacetime than there were during the Civil War. Yeah. You know, my trip was bad, but I can't imagine immigrating now with the cartels and even all the gang violence and the cartel violence and having to take a train through Mexico. You know, all of that I did not experience. I experienced differently, but not like that. Yeah, like it is harder to immigrate now, and there are more people immigrating now. I think we inherently learn to keep some things private, because I can guarantee that the kids that make it here by themselves successfully, they had to evade police and they had to keep quiet multiple times, like I did. You know, I had to lie, I had to pretend that I was Mexican so I wouldn't get deported back to El Salvador or Guatemala. So these are all these things that get tied to you, and counseling helps, you know, unlearning all those things that helped you survive but are not healthy in the regular world. The very first poem that I wrote, knowing that it was a poem, was called Mi Tierra, My Land, which addressed, you know, what I had left. And I had never had that medium for me to release all that pent-up anger and angst and longing. And I liked it. I kept on going back to the page. I wrote other works. And then eventually I was writing about my immigration story because I didn't see those stories in paper as poetry. I kept on looking for immigrant work. I think this would have helped me heal a lot. And so yeah, that's who the book is for. Any Central American immigrant who has crossed the border and has lived something similar. Refugee. Tu abuelita Nelly. This is my 14th time pressing roses in fake passports. For each year, I haven't climbed Marañón trees. I'm sorry I've lied about where I was born. Today, this country chose its first black president. Maybe he changes things. I've told mom I don't want to have to choose to get married. You understand. Abuelita, I can't go back and return. There's no path to papers.
I've got nothing left but dreams, where I'm the parakeet nest on the flor de fuego, the paper boats we made when streets flooded, or toys I buried by the foxtail ferns. Do you know the ferns I mean? The ones we planted the first birthday without my parents. I'll never be a citizen. I'll never scrub clothes with pumice stones over the big cement tub under the almond trees. Last time you called, you said, my old friends think that now I'm from some town between this bay and our estero, and that I'm a coconut, brown on the outside, white inside. Abuelita, please forgive me, but tell them they don't know shit.
That was Javier Zamora reading from his newest collection of poetry called Unaccompanied. That piece was produced by Hannah Kingsley Ma. You can see him reading this week live at Alley Cat Bookstore, that's tomorrow, and at Lit Crawl this weekend. More details about both of these readings at our website, klw.org. Click Cross Currents.